Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it's time for Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin, John. We are able to someday, when all of this is over, add somebody who will be known as Monkey Boy, who will go out and do stunts for us. On the other side of the coin, the times for Monkey Boys is over. Call it in the air.
I think it's tails because Disney will never improve us, waking people up. We sent Singer once in a bikini to Jeannie Buss's house.
It's true.
Because Singer's one of those guys that has hair all over his back.
Yep.
So it's kind of, and
He was literally a monkey boy.
Yeah, I don't think Disney lets us get away with it. So I'll say tails.
Tails, no more monkey boy. No more Dave Singer 2.0.
Damn. All right, Ireland, it's to you.
All right. Guys, Scottie Pippen is one of the stars of The Last Dance. He's also one of five players ever to make the NBA all-defensive team 10 times. Now, you guys can work together on this. Let's see if you can come up with the other four. Each get a yes or no question, but then after you all ask, so after the three questions, you have to make a guess.
Okay.
But you each get a yes or no question. I will give you guys one big hint.
Okay.
All four names you are looking for are Hall of Famers.
Okay.
Okay. So you were looking for the four other guys who made the all-defense team 10 times. Now, Lindsay, you get a yes or no question. Go ahead.
Wait, can I go like second? I want to know what the people's questions are first.
Yes or no question. What do you got?
Are they all forwards?
No. Mace, yes or no question.
Some were. Did any of them play? Are any of them pre-1980?
One, yes. I'll even tell you. One is pre-1980.
One is pre-1980. Okay, got it.
Lindsay?
Not very good at this.
You want to pass on your question?
Pass. I'm going to pass on my question.
Mace, that means you get another question. You get another yes or no question.
Did they stay with their own teams for a long time, or did they move around?
For the most part, stayed. A couple of them did move, but for the most part, stayed.
Okay.
And so you would have had to phrase it yes or no. So go ahead and make a guess. All defense 10 times. All Hall of Famers. All big names.
I will say Kevin Garnett.
Correct. Kevin Garnett is one of the four. Very nice, Mace. One for one. All right, you guys get more yes or no questions. Lindsay doesn't have them, so Funch and Mace, fire away.
Yeah, I'm terrible at this.
Did Funch? These guys retire in the last 5 years?
Yes.
I think I got one.
All right.
Go ahead.
Give a shot.
Tim Duncan.
Correct. Tim Duncan. You are two for two.
Okay.
All right. You're missing... I'll just tell you, you're missing a guard and a center. All defense 10 times. Hall of Famers.
One of them was pre-1980.
Yes, but also played past 1980.
Okay.
So came into the league just before that and played through the 80s. And one of them you'd consider modern, just recently retired.
You think Kobe's on the list, guys?
I think it might be Kobe.
Correct. You're 3 for 3, and you're only missing one. Be very impressed if you get this with no
so
strikes.
So this is the one that played late 70s into the early 80s.
Correct. One thing that might help you, think about it, to be all defense 10 times, you would have to have a very long career.
What about Kareem?
Is that your guess?
Yes.
Boom! 4 for 4 without a strike. Well nice. Done, boys. Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Mace, which I thought was the hardest one. That's the one you got first. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Duncan, Kobe, Garnett, Kareem, and Pippen are the only five people ever to be named All-Defense 10 times.
Wow.
Now, remember, the All-Defense team didn't really come around until the 80s. So that's why you don't have, like, Bill Russell for sure would have been on it. But
oh,
they
yeah,
didn't have
yeah,
it back then. So, but the very
I'm surprised
impressive.
Jordan's not on it.
Surprise who?
I'm surprised Jordan's not on it.
I'll look up how many times he was all defense, but my guess is 7 or 8. But 10 times is a lot. Very well done by both of you.
Excellent. Excellent. Funch.
Fast track.
Dogs are already being used to detect malaria, cancer, and Parkinson's in patients. In principle, scientists are sure that dogs could be taught to detect COVID-19. If this is proven, dogs could be used to screen anyone, including those with no symptoms. This would be fast, effective, and non-invasive, and would help make sure the limited testing resources are only used where they're really needed. Researchers say that each disease has its own unique odor, and that dogs could be ready in 6 weeks to help in early detection. They could potentially also be trained to tell if someone has a fever. They say it would help prevent the reemergence of the disease after we have brought the present epidemic under control. Question. Is there anything dogs can't do for us? Can this yet be another example why they are man's best friend, that we could actually teach dogs to be able to detect COVID within 6 weeks? What a difference that would make in our efforts to return to normal life.
Not only do I believe this, I think dogs are so much smarter than we give them credit for. The other day, Reagan the dog, my dog, who is normally a pain in the ass, but I love anyway, she needed to get into the backyard. Like somebody, there was somebody back there, and yep, you know, Reagan considers herself a guard dog.
Yep.
And I had locked the back door. She has figured out over the years that if she just jumps on the door handle,
yep,
she can open the door. So I started deadbolting the door. You know, just right next to the handle. I started deadbolting the door. She jumped up, hit the deadbolt, got it open, then hit the door and opened the door to go into the backyard. I mean, I never taught her that. I never did
right,
anything like that. She just saw me do it. So now we had to install a latch at the very top of the door that I have to close to keep her from going out automatically. But I think dogs can do almost anything.
Could you imagine if we could, if they say it takes 6 weeks to create COVID sniffing dogs, what that would do at airports, at ballparks, among players, in hotels, everywhere. COVID sniffing dogs would really help us to curb this crisis in a gigantic way. I say get started. Start training
yep,
dogs to sniff
why not,
COVID.
Why not? Got nothing to lose. Do it.
Fast Fine, track.
All right, Mace. Novak Djokovic, the world's top ranked tennis player, said he faces a dilemma if it becomes compulsory for players to get vaccinated before they can return to competing, because Djokovic doesn't believe in vaccinations. Much of the sporting calendar has been stopped for the coronavirus as it continues to sweep the world. Here's what Djokovic said. Quote, "Personally, I'm opposed to vaccination and wouldn't want to be forced by someone to take a vaccine in order to be able to travel." He said this on a Facebook live chat on Sunday with several fellow Serbian athletes. He continued, quote, "But if it becomes mandatory, what will happen? I'll have to make a decision. I have my own thoughts about the matter, and whether those thoughts will change at some point, I just don't know," end quote. Now, Mace, you have always said that you won't take a drug test. You feel strongly about that.
Correct.
Like Djokovic does about vaccines.
Correct.
What would have to be at stake in order for you to change your mind? For example, if you were given your dream job, but that company required you to take a drug test, how would you handle it?
It's just a matter of principle. I don't think that I owe a company my urine. I think
a lot of
don't,
people would agree with you, but let's
especially
say,
in my business. I mean, we talked about it actually on the podcast. that we did. I think that one of the reasons why I've been an interesting person and performer on the air is because I do use marijuana, do use cannabis. So I don't think, in the case of Djokovic, the reason to take a vaccine isn't just for you. It's to protect those around you. Is he an anti-vaccine person? Is he an anti-vaxxer?
It sounds like it, yeah. By the way, this would cost... He's the number one ranked player in the world who makes millions of dollars. It would cost him his career if he took a stand on this. So I think he's going to take the vaccine. But it does provide an interesting ethical dilemma for somebody like you. For example, you get the call tomorrow that they want you to be the new host of the Today Show. They decide that the two women are not working, and they're going to pay you $5 million a year, you and
Guthrie. Replacing Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb?
Hoda's out, you're in. So it's
okay,
going to be...
by the way, they should make that change right now. Right now.
So it's going to be Steve Mason, a guaranteed three-year contract for $15 million, Steve Mason and Savannah Guthrie. You get your 6 weeks of paid vacation, so you can still travel like you like to.
Yep.
The parent company has a policy: you have to take a drug test. How do you handle it?
I'll just tell them up front. I'm happy to take the test. I'm not going to pass it.
What if they gave you the old Mike Glickenhouse response? If you need some time, we can get you some time.
For that particular job, the one you are describing, I would probably get sober.
Yeah.
Probably quit using.
So, you know, it's interesting. Our old boss, Chris Berry, used to have a saying that if you were talking to somebody and you said, if you were, let's say, negotiating with somebody and they said, would you sleep with your mortal enemy for $10,000? And the person said, no, of course not. I wouldn't do that. He said, would you do it for $1 million?
Is this a conversation that Chris Berry literally had?
At dinner one night when we were with him.
Really?
He said, you're talking to somebody and you say, would you sleep with your mortal enemy for $10,000? And I said, no. He goes, would you do it for $1 million? And I said, probably not. He goes, what about $10 million? I said, maybe. He goes, so you'll consider it. We're just arguing about the price.
Yeah.
So this is more like Djokovic is going to be faced with an ethical dilemma. It's going to cost him millions of dollars.
Right.
In your case, you decided $15 million and a dream job? Okay, I'll do it. So
yeah,
very few people have an ethical line they won't cross.
On the sleeping with the enemy thing, $1 million is probably enough for me. By the way, Chris Berry has done very well in life. He's the executive vice president of NBC News Radio and the network at iHeartMedia.
Yeah, good guy, too. Fun guy to go out with.
I like Chris. Posing interesting questions. All right, more Fast Track is coming up next for you. Funch has got a question. Lindsay's got a question. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track. And Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. Our old guy, Pau Gasol, is considering retiring, but he still wants to represent Spain in next year's Tokyo Olympics, where he will be the age of 41. Now, his motive, according to Pau, is to play in the fifth Olympics, something only four other men's basketball players have ever done. Now, is this something you would like to see Pau do, or should he step aside and let someone else do it and ride off into the sunset?
I would absolutely love to see Pau do this. One thing I've watched that Game 7 against the Celtics in 2010, now three or four times, so he's been replaying it a lot. The Lakers don't go to any of those finals without Pau Gasol. And I've said this before, Mace.
Yep.
In terms of a famous person, he was the most down-to-earth famous person I've ever met. He would, if he'd be walking down the street, he'd go, hey, Stephen John, what are you guys doing? He'd sit there and talk to you for 10 minutes. And he was maybe, along with Rafa Nadal, he was probably the most famous athlete to come out of Spain in the last 20 years. Maybe you would have to include some soccer players, guys that played for Barcelona. But... I've never seen a more down-to-earth, humble, great guy. If anybody could play in five Olympics and should get that, I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But I'm whatever Pau's trying to do, I'm a fan for life of Pau Gasol.
Yeah, me too. I say playing five straight, that's great. I'm trying to think, what's his medal count at the Olympics?
Well, I can't imagine Spain not winning at least a bronze or a silver when he was there. Do you know, Funch, does he have four medals?
Give me a second to check it out.
Okay.
You would think that they would medal every year.
All right, so here's one of my favorite Pau Gasol stories. So when you travel with a basketball team, there are a lot of flights where you get in at insane hours of the night or the morning, and a lot of times with no sleep, and a lot of times it's planes, trains, and automobiles. So
he's got two silvers and a bronze.
Two silvers and a bronze. There you go.
But so one year, Mace, you remember Pau started his career in Memphis.
Right.
And so one year we're playing four games in five nights. And we have some ridiculous back-to-back in which we have airline trouble and we're not able to get out. And we got to go back to the hotel and we get up at 6 in the morning and we're flying from Portland to Memphis. And we get in at 1:30 in the afternoon and everybody is just dog tired. And we're stumbling off the plane. And everybody is walking to the buses, and I'm walking with John Black and the longtime Laker PR guy. And I go, hey, what's Pau doing? Because everybody else is getting on a bus, and Pau is getting in a car. And we have no time. You know, we've got all these games every night, and Phil's canceled practice. It's just crazy.
Yep.
And John goes, every time we come to Memphis, he goes to St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and he doesn't want to miss it. And I said, well, couldn't he go tomorrow? He goes, he told the kids he was coming today, so he's not missing it. And I thought to myself, this is the second most famous guy on our team behind Kobe. He's the reason we're going to the finals. His first 3 years with the Lakers in the finals. And here we are on a trip where nobody has any time and we can hardly walk. And he gets in a car by himself where everyone else is going straight to the hotel so he can go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital to visit a bunch of kids. And he would do stuff like that all the time. I mean, he is one of the great guys ever to play for the Lakers. If you talk to anybody who ever covered him, they will have stories like that to talk about Pau Gasol. And so, Funch, to answer your original question, anybody who's ever gotten to know him and who covered him with the Lakers and who was part of the traveling media or who worked for the team is going to say the same things I'm saying about you. One of the great guys of all time. One of my favorite people. If I made a list of the 10 favorite people I ever covered, he's on it.
Obviously, his number will be retired.
Right, because he'll go to the Hall of Fame. And the Lakers rule is if you make it to the Hall of Fame, we'll retire your number. That's why all the numbers you see retired at Staples Center by the Lakers are guys who are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Fast track.
Always, always a really, really good guy and a great guy to interview. Always very generous with his time. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, so social media and marketing teams are really being pushed to the limit to get creative to market their products and brands during these unprecedented times.
Yep.
One brand social media campaign in particular caught my eye yesterday on Twitter. Here's the tweet that caught my eye. The NFL draft will be without an important tradition, and we just can't let that stand. Funch?
Here comes Roger Goodell to open the draft.
Then it says, record your boos, then post and tag at Bud Light and hashtag boo the commish. We'll deliver boos to the draft, and for each hashtag boo the commish through April 25th, we'll donate $1 to NFL Draftathon, up to $500,000. So I got to say kudos to Bud Light for the idea because I think it's fantastic. But
yep.
Wanted to ask you guys, what do you think of this? And how did they get away with this with Bud Light being the official beer of the NFL? And then once you guys answer that, I have one other related question.
Okay, there's no way, Lindsay, Bud Light, because you mentioned they're sponsoring the NFL, there's no way they do this without Goodell signing off on it. And Mace, good for him that he did. That's a guy who gets it. If he knew Bud Light came to him and said, we can raise a bunch of money for charity, he probably said, you know what, I get booed this thing anyway. If we can piggyback it into some money, let's do it. Good for Goodell.
Yeah, I mean, I right now just tweeted hashtag boo the commish and the word brilliant. And what are they doing? They're donating what?
So they're donating $1 to the NFL draft-a-thon, up to $500,000 for every time somebody tweets out with hashtag boo the commish.
Brilliant. It's,
so it's
a brilliant promotion.
And
John's right. The fact that Goodell is okay with it, he was going to get booed anyway. The fact that he's okay with it says a lot about him and his sense of humor. So, I think that's a brilliant promotion. And you're right. I mean, right now, in particular, if you want to expand your brand and continue to be part of the social dialogue while we're all quarantined, I find it interesting to look at the commercials, to see the social media tweets from companies, to see the ads that ran during the Last Dance. Like, did you know, actually, this is weird. When did Facebook become the Facebook company?
I was wondering the same thing when I saw that.
Like, it's brought to you by the Facebook company.
And because you remember in the social network, the original name of Facebook was The Facebook. And who was Justin Timberlake? Who did he play? The guy, Sean Parker.
Sean Parker.
You know, remember in that Andrew Garfield's character says, Eduardo Saverin says, that dinner, that first dinner when they met with Sean, he wooed the pants off of Zuckerberg, but he only made one actual contribution to the company. He said, don't call it The Facebook. Just say Facebook. It's cleaner. So now what you're telling me, Mace, is they've gone back to The Facebook company?
Yeah, now they are The Facebook company. The Last Dance was brought to you by State Farm and The Facebook company, which I thought was the weirdest damn thing because I've never heard The Facebook company. And maybe they're using this to completely rebrand the thing because they're more than just that website now. They're like the Facebook company is now like a whole bunch of things. Like Facebook, Facebook owns... what else do they own?
They own Instagram.
Do they own Twitter?
No, they don't own Twitter. Twitter's still a standalone, but they
own WhatsApp.
Instagram. Yeah, WhatsApp. Yeah, they own a whole bunch of stuff. They own a lot of AI stuff. They own a lot of cloud storage. They're working on self-driving cars. So maybe now it's just not Facebook. It's The Facebook company, which was weird to me.
I thought maybe the reason they did that was because they're in the commercial breaks. They were marketing a product that I think is one of the companies that Facebook created, which is it's like a platform where you can do video calls on, and it's not Facebook. I think it's an actual device itself. So I thought that maybe.
Oh, it was the portal. They were advertising.
Yeah, the portal. That's what it's called.
Which is a good time for that. That's the thing where you can stick it in your mom's house and even she can figure out how to do a video call.
Yeah, it's like the jitterbug video.
Okay, so that's from The Facebook company. That's probably exactly what it is. All right, more Fast Track is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hi, rolling on with Fast Track Ireland, it's to me.
Fast
All right,
track.
Today is the birthday for the Queen of England. She is 94 years old. 94.
Wow.
If you're Prince Charles, are you just waiting for her to die? I mean, he's already 71. He's probably not going to have much of a reign.
Well, the amazing thing is, you saw The Crown, right?
Oh, yeah, I love The Crown.
Right, her husband is still alive.
Yeah, I know.
They're
Prince Philip.
Both alive.
It's incredible.
Yeah, but his run is going to be very, like Prince William is probably going to have a pretty decent run.
Yeah, William's only 37, so he's going to get a decent run. But Prince Charles, I mean, he may not outlive the old lady.
94 and still going, and her husband's still going. And the what jumps out at my mom is watching The Crown right now. And what jumps out at you about The Crown is basically Prince Philip, who's also in his mid-90s now. I think he's even older than her. I think he's like 97. He basically did whatever he wanted for his whole life.
Yep.
Like, no rules his whole life. It didn't matter. He was just married to the queen, so he got
once
to do whatever
in,
he wanted.
Once you're in, you're in. That's the way it works in that family. The other question is, now you love this whole Royals thing. You follow this stuff.
I'm very jealous that I am not a Royal myself. Yeah.
What is the appeal of following the Royals? Like, people make such a big deal about them, and I just don't get it.
For me, it's the dream of basically having a job and getting paid to do absolutely nothing. Like, that's why I can't believe that Prince Harry gave it up. I can't believe that him and Meghan Markle gave it up.
I think it'd be a pain in the ass to be a prince and go to every envelope opening in the entire world. I don't blame him for giving him up.
Yeah, but I think they're going to find that it's going to be very hard for them to go back to a normal life, because wherever they go, they're going to get media coverage. And now they don't get the money.
But they didn't have I know, but they've got a brand. They've got all this stuff that they're working on. They didn't just jump right into this. I think Harry and Meghan are going to wind up being far better known than they are already. I think it'd be a pain in the ass to be a royal. And by the way, the Crown kind of points that out, that there's a real downside to being that.
Happy birthday to the Queen. She doesn't let her sister do anything. That's true.
Yeah, Margaret gets to do nothing. Happy birthday to the Queen of England, 94 years old.
By the way,
sorry,
you think
Charles,
Meghan,
she lasted another
Meghan
year.
Does Meghan Markle eventually get remembered as a modern-day Yoko, or no?
No, I don't think so. I think Meghan's going to have, I mean, I don't know how well she is as an actress. You would know better than I. Is she good?
I watched her in Suits. She was good, yeah. She was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine she's going to do shows and have movies and all kinds of stuff. They already started a production company. I mean, it's not like they can't.
By the way, Meghan Markle, yep, college classmate of Mike Trudell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were at Northwestern together.
Yeah, it's not like she came out of that thing with nothing. Prince Harry came out of that thing with some money to start a business. I think those two are going to be just fine.
Funch?
Fast track.
Okay. Mace, the New York Times is reporting that Neiman Marcus, the store that was founded in 1907, will file for bankruptcy this week.
Wow.
It's a familiar sight, as most stores, restaurants, and retail chains are fighting to stay afloat during the pandemic. Now, let's say I give you, I'll give one to you, Lindsay, and one to you, Funch, a magic power that would allow you to save one institution. It can be anything. Restaurants, stores, companies, anything you love, but you can only use this power to save one thing. It would guarantee that whatever you pick is guaranteed to be alive and well and financially covered after the pandemic is over. And the question is, what are you going to save? Now, for me, I'm torn between two things. One would be bars. Just in general, the ability to go to the bars and have a drink and congregate.
Say bars, then can we say restaurants? Bars pretty broad.
You can say restaurants, but most bars have restaurants. Not all restaurants have bars. You know what I mean? But that would be one. That would be one. The other one would be gyms. Like gymnasiums where you could go and work out. You know, think about how many people go to the gym. Whether you go to, you know, like just a regular Gold's Gym in Venice that's down by you, or you go to a country club gym, or you go to a hotel gym. You know, every hotel has gyms.
Yep.
The ability to go to a place where other people would also be working out and staying in shape. So mine would either be bars or gyms. I think I would lean towards gyms because most people would use them. But Mace, you can pick anything. You can pick coffee houses. You can pick weed shops.
Going to pick movie theaters.
Oh, that's a good one.
I really hope movie theaters can survive this. As people probably know, as I've described in the show, I see probably 3 movies a weekend. I love going to the movies. I love going on Thursday night when it's a big movie, like a Marvel movie, when there's a premiere, or a Star Wars movie on a premiere. I love going on a Thursday night with a big full house. I really pray that movie theaters are going to be able to survive this. That would be my choice.
All right, Funch, you get to save one thing in your life that guaranteed it'll be around after the pandemic. What do you pick?
I think I'm going to go with your thing, John, gyms, because I feel like I'm 50 pounds overweight from not working out for the last 5 weeks.
You know, a friend of mine, we were kicking this around the other day, and a friend of mine said Uber. He would save Uber because it has changed the way so many people get around now. You know, a lot of people don't buy cars, and you know, or a lot of people use Uber if they go out on the town. They don't want to drive, and Uber has basically been shuttled. Lindsay, what would you save?
Mine would easily be masseuse, like massage therapy places, because that's something that, like, I can't do that on my own. I could go to a gym and work out on my own. I could cook or hire somebody to cook for me, but, like, I can't get a massage. Like, I can't do it myself, and it's really hard to find somebody that can do it the right way.
Yeah, that's actually a good choice. Yeah, you know, let's hope that everything survives. But I think,
yeah,
you know, if Neiman Marcus is closed in Mace, a lot of department stores, like stores that we know
They were already
closing before this,
you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that they were, like, on the verge of bankruptcy as it was, because I know that might have been, like, Nordstrom, or there's another department store, too, that was on.
That's the one I would hate to see go. That's the one department store I do go to and I do buy stuff at is Nordstrom. I would hate
to see. Well, Nordstrom has a very strong online presence, too, so you can still get stuff from Nordstrom if you go online.
All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
Okay, I'm going to play a little game. Got a game of mystery voice. Game of mystery voice. This is Lindsay versus Ireland. Lindsay, I'm trying to remember how. Who's been doing well in this game?
Last time, Lindsay made it very respectable. I beat her on the fifth one.
Right. Okay. So, Lindsay, are you prepared?
Yep.
All right. Your name is your
buzzer.
I'm
ready to go.
You don't sound confident, but okay. Your name is your buzzer.
Okay.
Mystery voice number one.
And then there's Leroy Smith. Now, you guys think that's a man.
John.
That's Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, yes. Talking about Leroy Smith, who was the coach of the team that he didn't make when he was a sophomore in high school from his Hall of Fame speech.
I know. Unbelievable.
Michael Jordan, that's number one. Mystery voice number two.
And I think a lot of times we don't do that. We spend our time pleasing, satisfying, looking out into the
That's world. Michelle Obama.
That is Michelle Obama. A 2-0 lead for Ireland. No clue on that one, Lindsay.
Nope. I haven't heard Michelle Obama speak a whole lot, to be honest.
She was the first lady for eight
now,
years.
This started the last time. I won the first two, and then Lindsay won the next two, and we decided on the fifth. So let's see if she can pull it off.
Here we go. Mystery voice number three.
In seven, you discovered Luke, obviously, is a hermit on this island, that he's – there's so much unsaid about where he's been and what.
Well, I know that it's a reference to.
Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I know what it's about, but I don't know who it is.
All right, give me a Funch. Give me a little more of it.
In seven, you discovered Luke obviously is a hermit on this island. That he's there's so much unsaid about where he's
I'm going to guess. Yeah, it's a Star Wars thing, so I'm going to guess Mark Hamill.
That's what I was going to
say. Absolutely correct.
Wow.
But it doesn't make sense the way that, like, he's talking about it as if it's not him.
Yeah,
I was confused.
Lindsay, I almost guessed J.J. Abrams, but I figured that he said Luke and he was Luke, so that was a lucky guess. All right, see if you can make this respectable, Lindsay.
Mystery voice number four.
Well, it's been a little emotional. You know, anytime you don't get a chance to play a game that I have narrowed my focus.
Lindsay.
Is it Giannis?
No, it is not.
All right, let me hear a little more.
Emotional. You know, anytime you don't get a chance to play a game that I have narrowed my focus, allow me to tune out a lot of distractions and be able to achieve my goals as far as being a good player. So. Having the game taken away from me that many days, been a little frustrated emotionally. But
frustrated?
I don't know who that is.
Don't know who it is?
No.
That is Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown.
Oh, AB.
Antonio Brown is frustrated.
Talking about he's frustrated about not playing. All right, this is the one for everything. This one is worth
crapping out here.
3.5.
Oh, this you can't worth... make mystery voice worth 3.5 at the end. Mystery voice is hard earned.
This is worth 3.5. You guys both should know this.
Unbelievable. All right.
Mystery voice number 5.
You know that everybody at that game, anybody who likes Northeast Ohio high school
Lindsay.
Football.
Lindsay! It's Jeff Phelps!
It's Jeff Phelps!
That's my buddy in Cleveland.
Just in the nick of time.
And Lindsay was his, you produced for him, right?
Sure did.
Yep.
Jeff, Lindsay, you'll have to send him this clip. He will be very embarrassed for me that I did not get that.
He'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it. There is your mystery voice for today. All right, coming up next, more Fast Track Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, we all know the NFL draft is this Thursday, so in honor of that, I have a game. I am going to describe a former NFL draft pick. Your name is your buzzer. Lindsay, you can play Funch and Mason. When you think you guys know who I'm talking about, buzz in.
Okay.
There's only 5 of these. Okay, here we go. I was the first overall pick in the 2004 draft. I never played for the team that originally drafted me. I played my entire career for one punch.
Damn.
Punch.
Eli Manning.
Yeah. Eli Manning is absolutely correct.
I had that with the second one. I should have buzzed in.
Okay. Funches is up 1-0. Okay. Number 2. I was the 4th pick of the 1975 draft. I am the all-time leading rusher for my team, which is the only team I ever played for. I am on the NFL's all-decade team in both the 70s and the 80s, and I'm on the 100th anniversary all-time team.
Lindsay. Is it Walter Payton?
It is Walter Payton. Very good,
wow,
Lindsay.
That's a great pull, Lindsay.
The next one was going to be my number 34 is retired in Chicago. So, Lindsay, well done. All right, 1-1.
NFL Network.
Okay. I was the 16th pick in the 1985 draft. I went to 13 Pro Bowls. Won 3 Super Bowls, and was the Super Bowl MVP in 89. I attended Mississippi Valley State.
Mason. Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice, and everybody's on the board. Very wise. The next one was he was going to be the all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. Okay. We have
kind of hard.
Just 2 more. You guys are doing well, though. Everybody's got one. I was once the 12th pick in the NFL draft. I played for only 2 teams, one in New York and one in L.A. I attended college at the University of Alabama.
Mace.
Joe Namath. Very nice, Mace.
Okay.
Very briefly in L.A.
Yeah.
And unsuccessfully.
Okay. So Mason 2, Lindsay 1, Funches 1. This final question is worth 2 and the victory for whoever gets it. I was the 5th pick in the NFL draft. I played for 5 teams, making 8 Pro Bowls and winning 2 Super Bowls. I was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame in 2011. I also played baseball,
Mason,
and appeared in the World Series. Mace.
Damn it.
Bo Jackson.
Incorrect.
Funch. Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders. Damn. Is correct, and Michael Funch is the winner.
Good job.
Nice.
I knew that one, too.
Well, yeah,
that was actually the only other one I knew. That was hard.
Yeah, you guys all did well.
That's a good game.
Did well.
Yeah, hard fought. Yeah, hard fought game. You want to do one more?
Another one, or are we going to SAS?
You want to do one more? Let's do one more.
It's up to you.
Fast Track.
Okay. Let's do this. U.S. yeast and flour makers are rapidly ramping up production as more and more Americans flock to baking amid the coronavirus pandemic. Sales of yeast, which is used to make bread and other baked goods, grew 647% in the last month. No other grocery product experienced such fast sales of growth, and there are actually yeast shortages. Experts agree that baking can help address the boredom of home quarantines. Some people may have more time on their hands now that they're not commuting to an office. Many people trying to avoid frequent trips to the store as well. And baking is one that lets you keep fresh bread in stock without venturing out. Question, do you bake? I enjoy getting baked. Do you bake? Is your mom a good baker? Does Lisa bake?
My wife is excellent. My mom and my wife are both excellent. So, no, I'm not much of a baker. My son, Jack, is learning how to cook.
Is he really? What's he cooking?
He cooks whatever he wants. Today he made rice and chicken stir fry.
Nice.
I know the gene skipped me. I can heat up a frozen microwave pizza. That's about it. Do you bake?
No, there's such a thing as cooking, which I can do a little of, and baking, which I cannot do at all. I will tell this story. So through my first big Christmas party, I decided, and this is the thing, the way things worked in my family, if we were having a big party, we would make everything. Like weddings, we didn't cater weddings. My grandmother made meatballs or stuffed cabbage or whatever, enough for 100 people or however many people were at the wedding. We never had a catered wedding in my family. And I decided, all right, so I'm throwing a big Christmas party. I'm going to bake all the cookies. I'm just going to keep baking cookies until I have enough for an entire party. One tray burned the cookies and my finger and decided that is it. I'm going to have a party where everybody brings their own cookies. Do you remember the cookies Christmas party?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody ended up bringing cookies.
None
were made by me. But I was very ambitious there until I got done with that first tray of burnt cookies. So, no, there's cooking and there's baking, and I'm not good at baking at all. Lindsay, do you bake?
Yes, I do bake. I bake a lot. I bake a lot of banana bread. And I know a lot of people have been baking various different kinds of bread during the whole pandemic thing, but I stick to banana bread and a lot of cake, chocolate cake.
How come you never bring it in?
Well, I mean, I was only there for a month before we all got home.
That is an excellent point.
We did not have much time before we hit this thing.
I totally was going to bring in cupcakes for Mason's birthday, but then everything the world kind of exploded at that point.
Okay, yes, so Amanda Brown makes absolutely killer chocolate chip cookies. Do you remember? She puts M&Ms in them.
They
are unbelievable.
Yeah, they are good.
Yeah, matter of fact, I brought some of those home once, and now Jack, my son, texts Amanda on his birthday just to announce it's my birthday in case you want to make me cookies.
Oh, that's awesome. So funny. That's so funny.
She does. Amanda always does it. Hey, let me slip this in there. I just got this word from the Lakers on this, and it's kind of cool. So a bunch of L.A. pro sports franchises are selling merchandise bearing their favorite team's logos and colors and also donating to the Mayor's Fund for COVID-19. So here's who's involved with it. AEG, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Galaxy, the Kings, the Sparks, and something called Rank and Rally have joined forces to launch the Teams for LA online sale. They're selling logo merchandise as well as merchandise from the Coachella Music Festival and the Grammy Awards, and all of the proceeds go to the Mayor's LA Emergency COVID-19 Fund. Here's where you go. TeamLAStore.com, and if you want to go directly to the site that does this, you go to TeamLAStore.com/collections/Teams for LA. It launched today. The site is updated daily. It'll have jerseys, hats, T-shirts, warm-ups, scarves, bobbleheads, and other items bearing classic logos of the Lakers, Clippers, Galaxy, Kings, Sparks. So if you're looking to buy some stuff like that, they'll also make a donation to the COVID-19 Relief Fund, and all your proceeds will go to that. So check that out, teamlastore.com.
All right, and right now it is time for Sliwa at Sunset. Crosstalk is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time, people. It is that time of night. It's Sliwa at Sunset.
Get the family together.
Gather around the radio. Gather around your Alexa. Ask for, listen to ESPN Los Angeles, and you can listen to Sliwa at Sunset.
Start the fireplace.
The fireplace weather, for sure. For sure.
Definitely get a nice fire going.
So, Sliwa, what's going on there in the cell in Chinatown?
Cell in Chinatown right now, you know, not much. Not much is going on. How you guys doing?
You know, we've had just an incredible show filled with drama and excitement and enthusiasm and positivity. This is one I'd like to send directly to the broadcast museum and have it put on display so that other broadcasters can learn how to do a show just like this. I don't want to oversell it. But.
No, of course. Of course. The moment I'm done with my show, then I will go back to the app and just listen to your show, Mace.
Don't blame you a bit.
Sounds like a very exciting night, Alan.
By the way, what'd you guys think of the Chargers logos?
Love them.
They're okay.
They get the best uniforms in the NFL.
They're all right.
John, how nice are those?
They're unbelievable. Yeah.
You know what they don't do? They don't show up in the standings.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Alan. It puts a lot of pressure on Mason's Rams because.
By the way, they're not announcing it next week, John.
It's
not going to be until sometime in May.
Oh, wow.
There's no pressure to do it because they don't have a first-round draft pick, so they're going to do it sometime in May.
Okay, so they're the last ones. All the other teams that are changing uniforms have already announced, except for the Rams, but those Charger uniforms are sweet.
Yeah, and they're okay.
The Rams will be fine as long as they don't put that phallic symbol logo on the helmet. You know, they'll be good.
Uniform's not worth a win, I'll tell you that much.
So Mace,
Tyrod Taylor.
You're talking to somebody that I would have loved to have seen the Chargers flop on their logo and their jerseys, and I'd love nothing more than to see the Rams from just, you know, that, like you mentioned, all this means nothing. Once the game starts, the game starts. But those Chargers, just their whole gear, the whole setup that they did, I don't think the Chargers do too many things right. They did that right. I mean, they hit today solid.
What I want is wins. I don't really care what anybody's wearing. I'm not as big on uniforms as everybody else is. I don't get all excited about it. I don't get all worked up about it. Like the Rams logo, I'm totally fine with the Rams logo. Everybody hates it, whatever. Everybody hates me for liking it. So what? I've got it on order right now, and I'm going to wear it as soon as I get my Ram head T-shirt and my Rams logo hat. I will proudly send out a photo of it, and I will get ravaged on social media, and people will tell me what a dork I look like and all that stuff. It's just a uniform, guys. It's just a logo. What I care about is wins and losses. Give me 10-6 in the playoffs. That's what I'm looking for.
So what are you gonna say to Eric Dickerson when he asks you why you're wearing a penis on your shirt?
I'm gonna say, Ed, you've got your initials are Ed. Is that why you see a phallus?
You're gonna call out Eric Dickerson.
I just did, didn't I? I've called him out.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you'll never say it to his face.
Well, no, I mean, I can't.
You're going to make an erectile dysfunction joke to Eric.
I can't
Dickerson
say anything to
face.
Anybody's face right now.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
Mace, I'll say this for the Chargers: I don't think anybody's going to buy their gear. They don't have any fans here, so
yeah, they don't have any fans. That's true.
I don't think that's going to happen. But at least the jerseys did look good. What do you guys think they're going to do at number six?
I think they are going to. I actually think they're going to take Justin Herbert,
which isn't a bad move. Which Justin Herbert may turn out to be a very good NFL quarterback. I think they have to take a quarterback. And they may, if they're married to taking a quarterback, they may try and move up to number three. Because that's the only way you can guarantee you get the QB you want.
So is Tua falling, by the way? Is he not?
There are some reports that he's off of some teams' boards because of injury, but there are enough teams that need a quarterback that are good. I think Tua goes in the top five. Don't you, Mace?
I think Tua's going at number three. I think Miami's going to trade up to number three to guarantee that they get Tua because they're afraid that the Chargers will trade up to try to get him. I think Tua is going to be the best quarterback of the class. I would bet on Tua.
By the way, Mace, the reason why I say it too, it's, you know, we kind of just look at the Chargers, and here's a perfect example just here in L.A. Who is their fan base? I honestly don't know who their fan base is, and I don't think they have many fans. But having a guy like Tua that everybody knows from his success in college, that can turn some heads, you know, and it might not be in his first year, second year, but kind of a long-term plan that, okay, this is the guy that will become the face of our franchise. I mean, Rivers was there for 16 years, so it's going to, you know, obviously this is the Chargers haven't been in this position in a long time as far as quarterback goes, but I didn't think Tua was going to go. All the mock drafts had him going, I think, six. I think they had Herbert going five, but now he's moving up even further. I didn't know that.
All right, so Alan, I sent this to Lindsay and to Mason over the weekend. The Los Angeles County residents, LMU, did a survey. They asked 1,000 LA County residents to pick their favorite team from 10 major pro teams with Los Angeles in their name. Who do you think won it?
Oh, Lakers. That's easy, right?
Yeah, definitely the Lakers.
All right, Lakers, 35% of the vote. Who got second?
Dodgers.
Yep. Dodgers, 31% of the vote.
Hey, John, can I say this? So I did this a little bit on Friday. I was talking about this. Am I crazy to think this? And you guys would have a much better gauge. Did you think that gap was going to be a little bigger or no?
No. Lakers, and it's a two-horse town. The Lakers and the Dodgers have always been right around.
So it's 35-31 Lakers and Dodgers.
Here's the amazing thing. Only four other teams even reached 5%.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, 7.5%. The Clippers, 6.4%. The Galaxy, 6.2%. And the Angels, 5.3%. The amazing thing about that list, to your point, Alan, is no Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. An NFL team.
1.2%, John. That's what they got on that survey. 1.2% were the Chargers. And like you just said, an NFL team. Can you imagine all these other teams, all these other cities that have NFL teams, what that percentage would be? Here in L.A., they're 1.2%.
The Chargers ranked dead last in L.A. County with the Sparks at 1.3%. The Sparks ahead of the Chargers.
And that's something uniforms aren't going to fix.
After the uniforms, they'll be 14.8%.
But I do think it lends itself to Alan's point that they should take a big-name quarterback. Like they should, Mace, I would do what you're suggesting. I would trade up and take
and go for Tua.
Because I think it would excite. I mean, that's why I thought they should have gone after Brady.
Yeah, I mean they're high risk picks, right? I mean, there's risk in Tua. Actually, there's risk in all these guys. There's risk in Burrow just because he's only done it for 1 year. There's risk in Tua because of all the injuries. There's risk in Herbert because he really didn't throw the ball much at Oregon. Who's the fourth guy? Is Bryce, who's probably going to get Jordan Love.
Bryce Love. Jordan Love.
Love, who's getting from Utah State, who threw the ball a lot but played in an inferior league. I mean, I think two of these four are going to crash and burn. It's just a question which two. Because the success rate on first-round quarterbacks is about 50%. So who are the two that are going to succeed, and who are the two that are going to crash and burn?
So, Mace, this is the challenge for the Chargers. Like you were just saying, I don't care about jerseys, right? I just care about wins. And that's the position that the Rams are in, and that's the position most professional teams are in. I think the Chargers are facing a bigger obstacle than that. Even if the Chargers win and have success, I don't think that many people in L.A. are going to turn their heads and say, oh, my gosh, this is an unbelievable team. I have to watch. I'm going to watch every Sunday. That's why when I'm saying like that individual player, that star, I think players can help drive the Chargers. It's not going to be just wins. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. If you're the Dodgers, you win, they're going to worship you. If you're the Lakers, that's going to be the case. Rams, USC, UCLA, the Chargers are battling something where there's in Los Angeles, they're already cheering for other teams. Maybe you can attract them because there's a player on that team that everybody around the league is saying, that guy's the man. You know, that's the only thing that I could think of, because even if they make the playoffs like they did in their first year in L.A., I don't know how many people in L.A. really cared about that game where they got blown out against the Patriots at Foxborough.
I tend to agree with you. I mean, I think that, you know, the Rams, despite the fact that they just got here, have got a really deep history in Los Angeles. I mean, I grew up, I've told this story many times, but I grew up a Rams fan and following the Rams in the 70s. And so all my favorite players from Lawrence McCutcheon to all those quarterbacks we went through, Burt Jones and Dieter Brock and John Hadle was the earlier part of the 70s. And we brought in Joe Namath and all those, Vince Ferragamo and Pat Hayden, ultimately got it done. But a lot of Rams fans, the fan base runs deep. Now, it's not a huge fan base. It's not a gigantic fan base yet. But the fact that they went on a Super Bowl run helped to establish them a little bit more. There is no heritage in Los Angeles for the San Diego Chargers, mm-hmm. for the LA Chargers. To me, they'll always be the San Diego Chargers, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand why they had to escape that dump. Qualcomm Stadium is just an absolute dump, So I understand that they couldn't get a new building down there, and that's why they moved. But ultimately, they're tenants in the Rams Stadium. Can they become successful? They need somebody like Justin Herbert to emerge as a legit franchise quarterback. And I think they've got, you know, I think it's 50-50 on all these guys. And so
always, by the way, yeah, always 50-50 on these draft dudes.
So, I mean, you hope, I mean, if they get it right, you've got a chance. But this particular year, moving into the new stadium, if in fact that happens, and by the way, I have no idea if we'll see games at SoFi Stadium this year. But if it were to happen, you're in sort of a development year. You're in sort of a Tyrod Taylor starts the first eight and Justin Herbert plays the second eight kind of year. It's a development year for the Chargers in a year where they're moving into a new building. So I think that that's also what they've got going against them. They've got going against them the fact that they're going into a new building and they're in sort of a rebuild.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, long uphill climb for the Chargers. It really is. And you know, we can use Clipper examples, but the Clippers, the one saving grace for the Clippers is they have an owner that's worth 50-plus billion. You know, and he could make moves that I don't think the Spanos family is going to have that ability. And them sharing a stadium where they have no ownership in is a perfect example of they're not the Bombers. But we'll see what happens. It's just going to be... I think it's going to be an incredible, incredible uphill climb for the Chargers that I don't think they'll ever be able to catch up, but we'll see what happens.
But their uniforms are okay?
Yeah, uniforms are nice. That's the key. The key is the uniforms. Nothing else matters.
No, it's all about the uniforms. By the way, I'm surprised. So the Rams are actually third on that list. I haven't seen this list.
I texted it to you.
Oh, I didn't. I don't read all my texts. I get so many text messages, John. I don't read all my texts.
35 Lakers, Dodgers 31, and I think Rams 7.5 or something along those lines.
Did they include college sports? Did they include USC
no.
football?
No, you have to have they Los Angeles in your name.
Where'd the Angels score?
About 6%, I think.
About 6%.
Galaxy did okay, right, John?
Yeah, and
did LAFC count? I guess they have LA Football
yeah,
Club.
They were
LAFC
in
their name.
LAFC was in it. Yeah. But you know, basically, what this thing determined was that it's a two-horse town.
Yeah,
it's a Dodgers Lakers town.
I am surprised it's as close as it is
with Dodgers Lakers.
Dodgers and Lakers.
That's what I'm saying.
It was interesting.
I was a little surprised.
The Dodgers were they do it every year. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, when the Dodgers were in the World Series for the first time in a while,
yep.
The Dodgers were number one, and
really?
The Lakers were number two. And now what the Lakers – by the way, the most popular athlete in town, it's not even close. Who do you think it is?
It's got to be LeBron.
Yeah, in a landslide.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, LeBron has brought the Lakers back up to the top.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that they hit a particular moment where the Lakers were down and the Dodgers win the World Series. So for that moment, it was Dodgers 1, Lakers 2. But, I mean, I think the Lakers playing the way that they were this season and being a championship-caliber team. And the Dodgers, frankly, you know, there's a bit of I'm enthused about this Dodgers team when they come back. I mean, I think they're good. But a lot of people now sort of expect the worst. They expect a disaster with the Dodgers because they've been so close now for multiple years. And last year, I don't know if I've been at Dodger Stadium for a more devastating moment. Well, I mean, Game 7 in the World Series was terrible. Mm-hmm. But last year, watching Clayton Kershaw give up those back-to-back home runs against the Nationals in Game 5, that was among the most devastating sports moments I've been part of. That was just horrible. And I was at the game, so I didn't even see the lingering of the camera on Clayton Kershaw and the stunned look on his face when he left that game. But I'm telling you, I've never seen the wind come out of a building, because we had that game. The wind come out of a building when Kershaw gave up those back-to-back home runs.
Yeah, it honestly doesn't get worse than that. And plus, they're both solo shots, so it's like the first one makes it 3-2. You're like, okay, still got a little bit of a cushion.
And you definitely could have brought in Adam. I'm reliving this. You definitely could have brought in Adam Kolarik to face Juan Soto. Some of these games just stick in my head, and I cannot shake them.
So Mace, you think that there's, let's say the season didn't get postponed as it is right now. You think a lot of Dodger fans were walking into this year, even with, you know, Mookie Betts and David Price, you think they were walking in almost fearful of the season just because of the way the other years have played out?
Well, you know what? They would have. This would have been a great team. This will be a great team when they ultimately get back in the field. I mean, this team was every bit the 105-win team that we had a year ago with an emerging Walker Buehler, with the addition of David Price in the rotation. Along with Clayton Kershaw, with an outfield that included, a left field platoon of Pollock and Jock Peterson, with Mookie Betts in right, with Cody Bellinger in center. I mean, you would have had an elite defensive outfield, and Mookie in that leadoff spot, unbelievable. But I think there are a lot of people who are like, they're snake bit after the last couple of years. Two World Series got bit. Last year, got bit in the NLDS. And ultimately, there's this feeling, this sense that we are the Atlanta Braves of the Stan Kasten era there, where they won the division 13 straight times, and we'll win this division no matter how long the season is, win the division 13 times, get to the World Series twice, and win once. They at least did get the one win, but there's this sort of consolation prize. Hey, we're in it every year, even if we don't win it all. So I think it's really important that the Dodgers get over that hump. And, you know, if this is a short season, here's the thing. The Dodgers would benefit by a larger sample size because they are so good. In a shorter sample size, they're not as good. Because the shorter the sample size, the streakier things can get. So I want the longest season we can possibly get. That'll improve the Dodgers' chances of winning the division and going into the playoffs as a one seed. And then you've got the question, is this the year that baseball is going to expand? Is this the year that they go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams with only one team getting the one seed? And that means that the best record in the league will be really important. So the Dodgers being the one seed in a year where you expand the playoffs to include 7 teams would be a really big deal.
Well, Mace, even too, looking at it, home field advantage, right? For the NBA, there won't be home court advantage, right? If both of these happen, if the NBA plays the season, Major League Baseball plays, that home field that was critical before, I know why you're saying it's critical, because you're going to technically have a bye while the other team is.
Yeah, maybe only one team gets a bye this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because I would think that going into this year, that out of all the years and the disappointments, and the success has been crazy, but just out of all the years where, like you mentioned, the disappointments that were there, I thought this season was the year that if you're a Dodger fan, you have your chest out more than any other time. But I could see what you're saying. Like, I understand your thought process. There's probably a lot of Dodger fans that say, until it happens, how can we not think a different way?
Yeah, until there's a parade, and by the way, there should have been one in 2017, as we've all found out. Until there's a parade, although, you know what? The cheating scandal took a little bit of the heat off, only because now we look back at that and see, had it been played squarely, we would have had a parade. Mm-hmm. So we really should have a World Series by now. And Clayton Kershaw's legacy should be different. And Yu Darvish's legacy would be different. And this team would have gotten the monkey off of its back. And who knows what happens after that in the following year in the World Series, because the pressure is off to some degree. But I think the cheating scandal and the fact that we really should have won in 2017 takes the heat off a little bit. But they need to win. They need to find a way to get over the top. And by the way, I'm talking as though there's going to be a baseball season, because I strongly believe there is going to be a baseball season.
That's how it should
be. It's actually weird to start talking about baseball again, mm-hmm. and not worry about it's the Arizona plan or it's the bubble plan or it's any of that stuff. It's just baseball. Let's have some baseball, kids.
How was Better Call Saul? Don't tell
I have
me
not seen
yet.
The final.
I've seen it. It was unbelievable. Okay. Hey, you guys know we were supposed to break like 8 minutes ago, right?
Oh, no. Were we?
Yeah.
I was talking. On a roll. I was like, screw it.
Yeah, but Better Call Saul, Slee, we'll just go and double up and hand it over to Slee in a minute. But the Better Call Saul, Alan, is excellent, and it sets up next season. You won't believe. I mean, there's going to be.
By the way, I'm there. I'm caught up. The only thing I have left is the final episode.
Yeah, I'm watching. Actually, the moment I get off the air, I'm going to watch the final episode.
It is. First of all, it's an hour and 25 minutes, so a little bonus for you. Mm-hmm. And. It's got a little bit of everything. You guys will like it a lot. If you haven't seen it yet, I won't spoil it because it just aired last night. But you know, the one thing about it is, though, when the gap between – this is season five. The gap between season four and season five was 18 months. And, Mace, I have to believe that since production is shut down because of the coronavirus, it's going to be at least 18 months until we get season six, don't you think?
Yeah, it's going to push back production on
everything. Right?
All my actor friends, all my friends that are in production, are all, stuck right now. By the way, you know, who's not stuck is, our friend, Mike Robin. Did you see what Mike Robin's doing?
No.
He has that show called All Rise.
Yeah, it's a Judge show.
And on May the 4th, I think it is, they're doing an all Zoom episode. They're doing it. God, what's the date of that? I think it's May the 4th. So they're doing a live episode, but all using Zoom technology, whether it'll be Zoom or not, I don't know. But it's set during the Corona crisis, and they're doing an actual fresh episode that way. So that's the one show I know that is still in production. That, and of course, the late night talk shows. And hopefully Saturday Night Live again.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going back live this week or not. I know they didn't this past weekend, but I'll have to look it up. I think that we might have to wait one more week for SNL to come back. But they're going to start figuring out TV stuff. And plus, by the way, did Alan, have you seen Black AF on Netflix?
No, I think I heard you guys talking a little bit about
very
that.
Funny. Very funny.
Very, right. Very good. Yeah, so you got to that's something for you to share with the Sliwa at Sunset crowd.
Yeah, by the way, I wanted to mention All Rise. It's May the 4th that's going to be on. It reflects the current state of the COVID-19 pandemic, social distancing, and its impact on the criminal justice system. So Mike has figured out a way to do that live, and he's going to direct.
Sliwa, what do you got coming up on the big Sunset extravaganza?
Did you guys see the article yesterday? Coronavirus to cancel nearly half of scheduled sporting events in 2020, and then it showed maybe about 45%, which was $60 billion that are going to be lost around the world. There's this agency called Two Circles. It was on ESPN yesterday. Sam Yardley's going to hop on that helped kind of put that together, and then Brett Dawson from the
Athletic. He's going to hop on?
He's going to hop on.
Hop on.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent. You know. That's what I got to do. Mace, I just have one question for you. When are you going to watch Better Call Saul?
As soon as I get off the air right now.
When do you do it? Like during breaks? Like, do you have your headphones on listening on the app? And then when I go to break, then you hit play? Or how do you do it exactly?
What I do is I use radio DVR.
Okay.
So I radio DVR your show, and then it's really easy. I can just play it back, and I can skip the commercials, which are mostly promos for things on the station.
Thank you, Mace. Thank you, Mace.
Yeah. So I will radio
DVR. Good luck,
Sliwa.
Tomorrow I'll have Better Call Saul trivia.
Oh, nice. Excellent. That's good.
Okay.
All right. Sliwa at sunset
is coming up right now.
See you tomorrow, 710 ESPN.